League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Alarm. 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 It isn't muted. Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news. And it's shocking, really. Mason Mount's back. Mason Mount's back. Call the papers. Get the kettle on. He's back. This is not a drill. Mason Mount's back. We'll talk about that. Also, new deals for Harry Maguire and Delo. We'll talk about where that's coming from. Also, bits of transfer news. I mean, is it spin? Is it reality? I think we'll delve into how it can happen. Edison, Osimhen and Joe Bellingham have been mentioned in relation to Manchester United. Also got the latest on what is going on around the stadium. Lots of fan backlash around that. What I would say is we're not Manchester United again, are we? We're Manchester divided. I think that it's quite sad, actually, when you look at the reaction around social media in relation to the new stadium. Some people are really excited and just forgetting who owns the football club. And some people who are representatives of this fan base are not happy about it and are being called out for not being happy about it. So you sort of just wonder, as I've said before, I think it's just so clear why this football club cannot ever get rid of the Glazers, because there's just too many people in the fan base who are easily pleased. Wouldn't happen at Liverpool, but, you know, happens at this football club. It needs to be studied. But look, let's get into the main headlines of the show. We're going to be talking about these new deals. Is that a sign of lack of funds? Ruben Amorim will be speaking to the press today at lunchtime. We'll be reacting to that. We'll talk about some of his potential transfer targets. But it's new deals around Harry Maguire, maybe Delo, and also the return of Mason Mount, like a new signing, to talk about this morning as well. But before we do all that, we are sponsored by Boohoo Man on the show this morning. We love Boohoo Man here on the United Stand. They've worked with us for years, and our audience receives an additional 10% discount on top of whatever is already being offered on the site. So you can get on there. They will have discounts anyway. But when you use the code Goldbridge at checkout, you, as this community, get an exclusive 10% extra off the purchase by combining that 10% with anything else. All sorts of stuff you can get there. Kit yourself out for the spring. The weather is starting to warm up. You can get gym wear, you know, tracksuits, clothes. Yes, clothes, because that's gym wear and tracksuits. Chill wear, everything, all there. With Boohoo Man. Check it out. Very well priced, delivered to your door, and an extra 10% discount. But also, they always like to do a little bit of trivia for you. So this Wednesday morning, can you guess this player? I was born on the 30th of April, 1981 in Waterford, Ireland. I began my career at Man United in 99, spending most of my playing years there. I won 5 Premier League titles. I didn't realise he won that many, but I suppose it makes sense. 1 FA Cup, 2 League Cups, 4 Community Shields, the FIFA Club World Cup and the Champions League. I mean, look, what an amazing medal trophy he's got. I bet Spurs would be crying. I joined Sunderland in 2011 before signing with Reading in 2018. I retired in 2019, moved into coaching. In 2024, I became the assistant coach of the Republic of Ireland. And I don't think we've done this one for ages, because it is, of course, John O'Shea. So well done if you got that one. And a big thank you to Boohoo Man. Remember to check out that 10% discount with the code Goldbridge on their website. Scan the QR code or go through the link in the description. Thank you very much to them. Okay, Where should we go? Daniel Sturtridge has come in with an early super chat here. Loads of people getting O'Shea. Well done. We'll be in Dublin next week. Next week, we will be in Dublin for our 10-year show. I can't wait. Hopefully going to see a lot of you there. Not many tickets left, but you can still get them. Link in the description. Daniel Sturtridge says, they're ripping the soul out. Never felt so separated from the history that the Busby Babes built. Sir Alex Ferguson, all that feels it's going to be gone after Old Trafford. You and me, I agree. We'll talk about that in a little bit, though. Let's get into the show, because there is a little bit about how long this stadium's going to take and a massive red flag for me about the stadium, but I'll talk about that in a bit. So look, breaking news coming out. It was rumoured last night. I was doing the watch along for Liverpool last night and good result for PSG. But yeah, there was a rumour that Mason Mount was going to be back in training. It's been confirmed this morning in The Athletic that Mason Mount is back in training. Sociedad tomorrow will obviously come too soon, but he's not far off. 12 weeks out, hamstring injury is what's been confirmed. So Mason Mount's back. Look, it's like a new signing. But reality is that Sir Jim Radcliffe mentioned that the... you know, he mentioned some players that they're still going to be playing for. Did we pay for Mason Mount outright then? Because Mason Mount, he name-checked Rasmus and he name-checked Anana. They were bought in the same summer as Mason Mount. So I think that effectively what you're looking at here is a waste of money, a player that's an absolute waste of money. So I think that, you know, when you talk about Mason Mount right here, right now, I think this is good news. And some people might go, what are you talking about? I think it's good news that he's back in training, because if you look at our bench, it's dreadful. And nobody can tell me that a fit Mason Mount wouldn't be a real valuable player to have at least on the bench. So, yes, I'm happy that he's back. But, and here is the big but, how long will he be fit for? I mean, this guy has been out for 3 months this time. He's already had two other injuries this year, this season. Last year, he had four or five. So statistically, he's going to come back at the end of March and he's going to be injured by the middle of April. So that's the challenge that Mason Mount has. There's no trust in his ability to stay fit. So getting excited about him being back is, you know, a waste of time, really. I'm happy he's back. He is a good player. But what are we supposed to do as United fans? Are we supposed to get excited about this and waste our energy? He played in the Manchester Derby for about 5 minutes and got injured for 3 months. So I think he's played four games this season. I don't see what we're supposed to do as United fans in relation to that. Welcome back. We really do need a player like you in that position. But how long will he be back for? It's really difficult. And also, how long would it take for us to drop the... My big issue with Mason Mount in a sentence is this. I'll never trust him. Based on what we've been told and what we've seen, I'll never trust him. Even if he stayed fit for a month, every game, every minute, I'd be waiting for him to break down. Like, and that's the problem. And you look at, you know, Bruno Fernandes. I never think he's going to get injured. Even at the weekend, he got a bad tackle on his knee. And you just know he's going to get up, because that's just the way he's made. That's the body he has. But Mason Mount, any second now, he's going to get injured. And the fact is, he is broken. He's medically broken anyway. Everybody knows that. He's got issues that are always going to get him injured. So Man United, I don't know how you solve a problem like Mason Mount. This is well known in the industry, by the way, that he's carrying injuries that he will never get rid of and that he's never going to be able to stay fit for a long period of time. So that's no good for Manchester United. Like, consistency is key. So look, I'm happy he's back and pray to God he never gets another injury. But I think we all know that he will. And I don't know how you build with that. So I think that, what you've got to do is just hope that he can come back and play some games. But he is back and he would be very valuable to us. But how long he'll be back for, I don't know. Fenke says Mason Mount's a disgrace. He's not a disgrace. He's not a disgrace. Phil Jones wasn't a disgrace. They're players that I wish we didn't have at the football club, because they're not useful. But he ain't walking home from training, you know, jumping in front of bloody dustbins and getting himself injured. He's just genetically got problems like some players do. It just happens. Perfect, need to treat him with kid gloves to sell him, says Class of 99. Callum says, with Mount, I think he needs to hang up his boots or play through the pain, says Callum. And once this circus tent is built, I am done, says Ben James. Thank you very much. Some super chats coming in there. So look, yeah, that's where we are with Mason Mount. Interestingly, though, it's quite a few sort of contract transfer stuff to get through this morning. And I definitely want to circle back to how fans are feeling around a few things as well. There is talk of a Rasmus Osman deal, swap deal again. If you remind me of that, well, I'll talk about that. Also, Edison from Italy, Joe Bellingham. But let's talk about Dalot and let's talk about Maguire. Two stories this morning floating around. Harry Maguire has already had his contract extended by a year, and there's talk of extending it again to 2027. So what are your thoughts about that? Well, let's do a quick poll on that, actually, just while I'm talking about that. Also, there's talk of Dalot and interest from who were the two clubs? Real Madrid and Napoli, I think it was, interested in Dalot in the summer, but Amorim would rather give him a new contract. So we'll talk about that as well. Would you give Maguire a contract for 2 years? Yes or no? So we know he's getting a one-year one, but would you give him one for 2 years? So, yeah, so there's talk of giving Maguire another year on top of the year he's got. So Maguire's here until the end of next season. There's talk of giving him one for another year, taking it to 2 years. And also, Dalot, apparently there is interest from Madrid and Napoli, but Amorim would rather give him a new contract. Because he's a massively important player for Amorim, isn't he? I mean, nobody's going to argue with that. He plays him every single game. He never subs him off. And he's a big part of his future, I think. The interesting thing about Dalot and the new contract rumour is, and look, the story was about Napoli and Ancelotti, but what we're hearing from people close to the club is that Dalot is a massively important part of Amorim's future, and if anything, he'd be looking to give him a new deal, not sell him. So Dalot's contract actually runs till 2028, and it's got a plus one. So the fact is, a new contract seems unlikely because that's 3 years away plus one. However, Dalot is on about 80 grand a week, and apparently he would like to review his wages. So maybe all this starts to make sense, because if Dalot has a 3-year deal on 80 grand a week and feels he should be on more, and now this story is about Napoli and Ancelotti, Real Madrid, maybe that all sort of fits into everything, if you know what I mean. And he knows he's a valuable player for Amorim. And obviously, some people would say, well, he shouldn't get a pay rise. But if you're on 80 grand a year at Man United and you're looking at people who are on 120 grand a year or 130 grand a year and you're playing every single game, you have got a right to knock on the door. You can ask the question. Right, that's bought us a bit of time. So 74% of you would not give Harry Maguire another deal. He's got another year. You wouldn't give him another deal. Harry Maguire is 32. Just 32. So next season he'll be 33. The season after that he'll be 34. My thoughts on Harry Maguire are this, and it might shock people again. Clearly, this story is potentially nonsense. But he's staying for one more year and then he's out of contract because we've extended him by a year. You would have to give him a year contract again. Now, in some ways, I don't really mind that, because you'd be, you know, if he has a good year next year, why would you not go, I think there's another year in him, and give him another year? But I wouldn't give it him now. I wouldn't be giving it him in the summer. I would be doing it around Christmas time and saying, look, it's gone really well. Do you want to stay for another year? We used to do this with Giggs. Just roll his contract on year by year. Giggs never wanted to go anywhere and we kept him as long as we could. So if Maguire really values Man United, then why would you not just wait till Christmas and say, do you want another contract, you know, if you think he's valuable? And there is that leadership thing, and whilst some people would say he's not a great captain and it didn't work out amazingly well, he is a leader in the dressing room as an experienced player. So that sort of thing can be quite valuable, and it certainly, I think, is very valuable to Amorim. He does value these types of players that are leaders like Bruno and Maguire, etc. My big issue with it is are we a serious football club that's trying to climb the table, or are we a football club that's trying to, you know, produce cheerleaders? Because Johnny Evans has barely played football this year. And we all said in August, oh yeah, keep Johnny Evans for another year because he wears his heart on his sleeve. Don't wear anything on his sleeve at the moment. He's injured. So we've kept Johnny Evans around the place, but he's not been able to play games. I personally don't think there's any value in a club that is mid-table having players that don't play but are a cheerleader in the dressing room. I don't think we're in that position to do that. We're sacking people all over the place. I don't think we can afford to have a Johnny Evans next year who doesn't play but is a great guy to have around. We're sacking great people who... because we need to save money. So I don't think we're in that luxurious position to actually keep players who don't play. So for me, keeping Maguire for 1 year or 2 years is based on playtime. And in recent weeks and months, he's played a lot. So I understand the justifiable decision of keeping him for another year. But I think saying let's give him another year after that is just the sort of mistake this club's made for a very long time. You can't tell me that Maguire in 2 years' time is going to be as good as he is now, or as fit as he is now, considering he'll be 33, 34. And also, factually, when you look at Maguire over the last 18 months, he's now had four significant injuries that have kept him out for longer than 2 weeks. So, and in the 2 years before that, he was very rarely injured. So what does that tell me? In the last 18 months, his body has started to feel the wear and tear of a long professional career. So I think he's going to pick up more injuries as well. So for me, I would just leave this as it is. He's got next season. We revisit it at Christmas. But you don't start rushing to give a player who's well into his 30s a year beyond a year. And that's where I would be on it. I do value Maguire in a three centre-back system. I understand the logic. But I don't think anybody can tell me that the season after next, he's going to be as good as he is now or as fit as he is now. And I think that is surely a financial decision, so it doesn't make any sense to me. I back Amorim, but his stance on Dalot and Maguire is worrying, says Class of 99. Patrick Lynch with a super chat this morning. Hope you're doing well, Patrick, says, Mount in some ways reminds me of Owen Hargreaves. Good when we have him, but made of glass. He brings something when he plays, but we can't just hold players on if they play. Very good comparison in relation to Owen Hargreaves. He became massively frustrating. I remember those days. If he could have stayed fit, he would have been so good, but he was always injured that it got to a point that you just didn't trust him. Yeah, I'd agree on that. As for Dalot, look, would I sell Dalot? Well, right, we've done the Maguire one. 74% would not give Maguire 2 years and just stick to the one. Would you sell Dalot? I suppose we'll do. Now, on Dalot, I don't know if he's going to get a new contract.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Right, because he's got 2028 down. But it could be to do with wages. Bruno had a contract till 2028 and we still gave him a 50 grand a week pay rise in the summer. So we could still do that. I think with Dalot at 25 years of age, if there is somebody out there willing to give you £35 million for him, you take it. It's pure profit. People don't realise this. Dalot is pure profit. He was bought from Porto many years ago. We paid that bloody amortisation off and gave him a new contract on top of that. So there is no loss on Dalot. It's pure profit. So if somebody comes in, whether it be Real Madrid or Napoli, and said there's £35 million, personally, I would do the deal. I think he's been horrific this season. I think he's been so bad this season. I never thought I'd say this, but we made a mistake getting rid of Wan-Bissaka and keeping Dalot. Now, let me just counter that by saying, if I'm going to play wing-backs, Dalot is the better pick over Wan-Bissaka. 100%. Wan-Bissaka is better defensively. But when you look at the form across the season, Wan-Bissaka's had a better season. I would replace both of those players. Wan-Bissaka and Dalot are not the long-term solution for me anyway. But across this season, he'd have been better with Wan-Bissaka than Dalot. Dalot needs to go, as far as I'm concerned. I don't see him as a as being good enough. He's 25, and I just don't think he's good enough. But Amrin really likes him, so I don't see him going anywhere in the summer. And to be fair, if you're looking at selling Dalot in the summer, there's probably about 8-9 players that need to go before him. So I don't think this is going to lead anywhere. Actually, if you're saying what's more likely, selling him or giving him a new contract, I would say he's probably more likely to get a new contract on better terms than being sold. I think if anybody thinks that Dalot's up for sale, you're crazy. Just look at how many minutes and how many games he plays under Amrin. Amrin really likes him. The big problem with Dalot is can he turn this around? Can he turn this ship around? Because you can listen to the crowd in the Arsenal game. They're really getting on his back. And look, there's nothing wrong with the crowd getting on a player's back. I don't know why we live in a, you know, snowflake society where, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, where have you been for the last 50 years? That's what football is. That's what football crowds are like. I mean, when I used to go a lot in the early 90s, gigs used to get that all the time. And people would never believe it unless they were actually in the stadium at the time. Fans get irritated by players making mistakes. So Dalot is getting a bit of stick at the moment. The question is, can he come back? I think he's technically good enough to come back, but we're waiting a long time for that. And I would have thought under a manager that speaks the same language and has given him a lot of confidence, I would have thought he would have played a little bit better. But I don't see Dalot going in the summer. He has got 3 years left on his contract, and I don't think Amrin would let him go. So I don't see anything happening with Dalot in the summer. But what I would say is 80% of you would sell him if an offer came in. So would I. I think we are terrible. We are in the bottom half of the league. We are on the brink tomorrow night. And players like Dalot have contributed to that. Can I say that? Well, I can. I think people are afraid to say these things because you might upset someone. But Dalot's form this season has contributed to Ten Hag getting the sack and Man United being crap. He's one of our big underperformers this season. So I think there's better players than him out there that I would replace him with. And it's funny, isn't it, how fans want and moan about where we are. But when you actually break it down and go, well, I wouldn't give him a contract. I wouldn't keep him. I'd sell him. They go, oh, well, you're a hater. You're a hater. But no, what I am and what everybody else is a football fan who has their own ideas about what needs to be done. And for me, Dorgu on the left is the future. And maybe Quenda on the right is the future. And that means Dalot doesn't get picked. So I think that Dalot for Frimpong, Dalot for Kirker, you know, there's so many players that I would go for over him. But I don't think he's going to go anywhere. Do you see any of the current players here by 2032, says Sanil? It's funny, mate. I was thinking that today. You know, if I was a current Man United player, and they're not interested in protests or Glazers out. They're just footballers playing their career. So they're not fans. If I was a current Man United player and I'd seen that stadium, I actually thought this last night. I thought if I was a current Man United player of a certain age, I'd feel a bit depressed because I'd know I'm never going to play in that stadium. Like Harry Maguire's not going to play in that stadium. Bruno Fernandes is unlikely to play in that stadium. He'll be like 37. So Lenny Yoro, Dorgu, maybe Garnacho, Mainoo, all these players, you'd be looking at that and going, oh, I'm looking forward to that. But there's quite a few players that I don't think will be. But yeah, Sanil, I'd say some of the players I've said there, yeah. Best in the World says, I don't want to see Dalot crossing it into that circus net in 2030, so I'd sell. Something crazy happened yesterday, says Egg Sport. Andy Goldstein on Talkshy actually called out Gary Neville for being quiet around the Glazers. Well, cool, mate, that's not amazing. That's what that radio station does. They monitor things like this. They've got producers who monitor programs like this. They see what we're talking about. They write it down and then they go, Andy, maybe say this. It went down really well on the United Stand. We'll get some views. So I'm not surprised by that. I'm heartbroken they're going to knock down Old Trafford, says Paulson. Thank you very much for your super chat. We're going to talk about that in a bit, Paulson, because basically all the big fan groups, Red Army, 58 don't like the stadium. Man United Supporters Trust have sort of sat on the fence, but we'll talk about that in a minute because there's a lot of infighting going on in the fan base at the moment. So at the end of the day, I think we need to have a chat about that. Let me talk to you about some transfer stuff, though, first. You know what? It's a new show. So, you know, don't shoot the messenger. It's a new show and we have to bring the news in. We always have. I'll give you my thoughts. So, first of all, Italian reports are talking about Edison Atalanta. I was doing the watch along last night on That's Football. A few people were mentioning it. I said I'd bring it into the morning show if I thought it was relevant. So basically, Man United and Juventus are looking at Atalanta's Edison. Obviously, Atalanta are out of the Champions League. They got knocked out by Club Brugge in the qualifiers. So I think that's a good thing for a starting point, is that he's not tearing it up in the in the Champions League. So, and maybe a lot of people thought he would probably leave last summer. So on that sense, Edison makes a lot of sense. Also, as we know, we need a midfielder and ideally Casemiro will go. And Edison's a player I like. And Edison is a player that Man United have been scouted for a long time. What I would say about Edison, though, and this is just my opinion, is two things. One, Atalanta got very good money out of us for Ahmad and Rasmus, over 100 million quid. So like Napoli and like certain other clubs in Europe, they're very good at getting a good price. So that's where we are. Atalanta are also 3 points off the top of the Italian league. You've got Inter on 61, you've got Napoli on 60, and you've got Atalanta on 58. So they're right in a big title race at the moment. So they're not schmucks. They're not average. So I just feel that with Edison, it's probably unobtainable for Manchester United. 50 million is going to be what they want. And I don't think we can afford that type of money, to be honest with you. And also, on top of that, I think there will be competition for that player, whether it be Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, European clubs. So I feel like Edison might, and I'd love to be proven wrong because we definitely like him. Also, I think Edison was a Dan Ashworth recommendation as well, because Dan Ashworth wanted him at Newcastle over a year ago. And then he went on gardening leave, came to Man United. So I don't think Man United, the way Sir Jim Radcliffe talks about people and tries to throw them under the bus like Ten Hag and Ashworth, I don't see him signing off a 50 million deal for a player that does that. So Andy C says, Mark, will the task force ask you to be their official YouTuber? I don't know what task force you're talking about. Hi, Mark, it's my birthday. I hope we win on Thursday, says Tracy Taylor. Yeah, big game tomorrow. So look, Edison, let's keep it there. But that's my observations on that. The next one I want to talk about, also coming in from Italy as well, is Man United have proposed Rasmus to Napoli as part of the deal that could bring Osman to United. Conte likes Højlund a lot. Seems to me that, again, lazy journalism maybe. Every Man United player gets linked to Napoli. McTominay obviously went there. Garnacho was going to go there, apparently. Now, Rasmus has been linked to them a lot. Delo's been linked to them as well. What has Conte got a Man United fetish or something? You know, is he like one of those people that gets turned on by things that everyone else just don't get? Like, why would you want Man United players? We're shit. So I don't buy into this. And I think, again, I think it's just too obvious. It's just too obvious. Oh, Man United want a striker and Osman's amazing. And Rasmus isn't scoring goals and used to score goals in Italy. And Napoli have got Osman. It just feels like way too obvious to me. What I would say is that it's not even harsh. If somebody said to me, would you swap Bruno Fernandes for Jude Bellingham? I'd do it. So, and that's nothing against Bruno. If somebody said to me, would you swap Garnacho for Rafinha? I'd probably do it. Because, these are better players than these players. Would I swap Rasmus for Osman? Yeah, of course I bloody would. I want Rasmus to score goals. I want Garnacho to stay and do well. And I want Bruno to win a Premier League at Man United. But look, honestly, these players are better than the players I've just mentioned. So, yeah, I'd swap Rasmus for Osman because we need an experienced striker. And Osman's a proven experienced striker. But I don't see this. I think what this is just a story that can get thrown out there to excite people who don't think things through. We've got a big game tomorrow. I need Rasmus to score and play well in this game, and the summer will take care of itself. I don't see Osimhen coming to Manchester United. I think Victor Osimhen at his age will want to play Champions League football. He will want to earn big money. He has been linked with Saudi in the past, so that means he's considered it. So I don't see Victor Osimhen going, I'll come to Man United, not in Europe, mid-table football, and I'll take a wage cut. I see Victor Osimhen going, I'll come to Man United if you're in Europe and you give me 250 grand a week. And I don't think we'll be able to do that. So I don't see that happening. I don't see it happening. Third story is talking about Bellingham, is Jobe Bellingham of Sunderland, who actually, I agree, would be an interesting profile of player. I don't watch the Championship enough. Obviously, we've been linked to quite a few players like this, Dibling, etc. But I think if we're going to spend money, these are more likely, honestly. Edison or Jobe Bellingham, I see as going for Jobe Bellingham. And the funny thing is that you might get Edison for £50 million and he's mid-20s, Champions League proven, and you might get Jobe Bellingham for 30 or 35. And people would say, go for Edison, because he's like, or he's a little bit more expensive, but he's more experienced and he's ready to go. I actually think United's policy is to go younger. So Jobe Bellingham, not Joe Bellingham, Astro, plays for Sunderland, Jude's brother. So I honestly think that these sort of signings are probably more what we're going to do. Obviously, we're looking at Quenda at Sporting for, you know, 17 years of age. And I think that we will look to keep buying younger players. If you're looking at a striker, I wouldn't be surprised if we went for Liam Delap. So I don't agree with this, by the way. I don't agree with that about this. But everything United are doing seems to be about value in the future. And I think we're crying out for experienced players. On the one hand, you're looking to keep Maguire for 2 years because he's experienced at 32. On the other hand, I'm saying he's getting quite injury prone and he's getting old. Why not buy a 25-year-old who's experienced, who will be here for the next 5 years and actually play? But United seem to have this weird thing going on at the moment where they don't want to buy experience for now. They want to buy young players. And so I think a Jobe Bellingham is more likely than an Edison or an Osimhen, if I'm being honest, because this is the strategy we're going down. Everything seems to be kicking it down the road. The problem you've got with that, by the way, is that, and this is my big concern about the stadium and everything, is that there's a lot of excitement about the stadium. But it won't last. It simply won't last. And I don't like to live in indefinites, but absolutes. But this hype around the stadium won't last. It will barely last 24 hours. It will certainly be gone by Friday morning. So everybody who was excited about the stadium yesterday will be less excited today, less excited tomorrow, and by the weekend they won't even be excited anymore. And you've got to wait for 5 years for that anyway. Your excitement won't even last 5 days. But I tell you what will happen in 5 days' time is if we lose to Leicester or we go out in the Europa League, eyes will be back on the team again. They'll be back on the manager again. They'll be back on the owners again. So I think United's strategy is completely wrong. I think everything they're trying to do is about the future because they see a cash cow down the road. They see that stadium, they see these young players, and they see money down the road. But what they've completely and utterly misunderstood is that football fans won't look forward for long. You can release your pictures of your stadium and people will do it for 24 hours, but then they'll get back to the present. And in the present, you're selling as nothing. There's nothing here at the moment. We're out of all the trophies apart from the Europa League. We're mid-table. The team's not good enough. It needs massive investment. And we've already had Omar Berada saying, well, you know, we're not going to spend that much because, you know, we don't agree with that. So my prediction with United is that, look, people might be falling out about the stadium, etc. But those people who are living off the excitement of the stadium, they're going to sober up pretty quick because there's not actually a lot to look forward to over the next few weeks, months and years. And you can't live off pictures of a stadium for 5 years. So what will happen is the cycle will come back. Frustration at the players, frustration at the manager, frustration at the owners. And I think that's inevitable. So I don't really get why United are so obsessed with buying so many young players, because they're not going to get patience. You don't get patience in football. There's a very big chance that in 10 years' time, we'll be in a much better position. But in 10 years, you had 10 years on your life. Some of you won't even be here, statistically. But it's a large proportion of your life. You know, have you ever been in that position where when Christmas is over, you go, oh, I can't wait till next Christmas. Oh, God, it's only 12 months. I can't wait till next Christmas. It was so good. I mean, that's if you like Christmas. If you don't, you're probably like, thank God. But, you know, then January is a massive month. It's only February and Christmas is long gone memory, isn't it? Like, time takes time. And we can only live in the now. And I just think a lot of what United are projecting is, oh, look in the distance. But we live in the now. And I think that I'm not that concerned about the spin and the hype and the PR, because they can't make us live off pictures. They've got to start delivering in the now. What about Angel Gomez on a free, says Marv? Look, Angel Gomez right now would be a welcome addition to Man United, but that's because we've got nobody in the midfield. Is Angel Gomez actually good enough to play in the Premier League week in, week out and move us up the league table? That's the question I would ask. I hope we watch for free transfers then, get them out, says Marv. Job and Delap would be good business, says Out and About with Job. I don't think it would, mate. If that was our summer, I don't think that's good enough. Let me just throw it back in a fair way. If our summer was Liam Delap, Joe Bellingham and Quenda, is that a good summer for Manchester United? I think it's a scary one. I think it's really scary. So Eriksen, Lindelof, Casemiro go, and you bring in Joe Bellingham, Liam Delap and Quenda. I think that's really scary because they're all really young and experienced, inexperienced. So again, you're going into a new season going, give us time. And Amrin won't get time, by the way. So Jim Radcliffe and Berada can talk about time. I can talk about time. You can talk about time. But we don't control the time. You'll still get some moron outside Old Trafford shouting into a camera saying, I've had enough, get him out of Man United. You'll still have some moron phoning up to go, oh, get him out, he's absolutely rubbish. I mean, people actually are already doing that, by the way. That's the funny thing. Ironically, there are people already doing that. You can search that out already, people saying, get Amrin out. So we already have the evidence. We can sit here morally going, I won't do it. But we know that that's the way the world works. Carragher will be there going, I look at this Man United side and I tell you what, Amrin, I don't even like his white trainers. You know, Neville, I watched that interview again with Sir Jim Radcliffe and Neville yesterday, by the way, and I'm glad I've just reminded myself. Maybe it's unfair, but when Sir Jim was talking positively about Amrin, I detected Neville sort of like going, and I've detected Neville going about Amrin for about 6 months now. I don't think Neville likes Amrin. And I detected that in the interview with Sir Jim when Sir Jim was defending Amrin. And I'd be on Neville's side over Sir Jim, by the way. I think Sir Jim's a puppet. But, and I don't think much of Gary Neville, obviously, but in that situation, I could see him talking about Amrin, and Neville was sort of like doing that thing where he goes, and I don't think Neville likes Amrin either. So these are people in the mainstream that if we keep getting bad results, they've already started, haven't they? Needs to change his system, this, that, and the other. So I think you can get excited about your new stadium, but I think that the Amrin movement will start very, very quickly. And it has already started, really, as soon as the bad results come next season, which I think inevitably they will do if your summer transfer window is not going to be huge. And Amrin's in a press conference today, and Beth's going, and if she gets a question, I basically said, look, one question that would be good to shape to Amrin would be, we know that Man United will spend money in the summer. but we also know that Arsenal, Liverpool will spend in excess of £100-150 million. Are you expecting that at United? Because I think that's a great question. Arsenal, Liverpool are miles ahead of us. They will spend north of £150 million, I think. Do you think we will? Do you think we're going to spend more than £150 million? I don't. I really don't. So I think Liverpool will. I think Arsenal will. I think Chelsea will. And maybe a few others will. If we're already so far behind Liverpool and Arsenal, but they're going to spend more than us in the summer, mate, you could teach that at infant school. There's somebody that's got more than you, and they're going to get more than you in the summer. If you get less than them, will you have more than them? No. No. So this is the grey area that we're talking about when they give you pictures of something you might see in 6, 7, 8 years' time. What about tomorrow? What about next season? And this is where I think Amrin, when he talks about things and says, I don't know whether I'll be here to see it, I think he knows the reality like we do. I think Ineos think, and Sir Jim Radcliffe and the Glazers think, that Amrin's going to be here for that stadium because they want him to be. But I don't think they understand that if you provide him with a shit situation, he will not survive whatever you think. So Jim Radcliffe might think, no matter what happens, end of the day, no matter what happens, Ruben's staying. But you and I know there's been times where Jose in, Ollie in, Ten Hag in, it's the Glazers that are at fault. And we've all said that. And yet somehow, miraculously, 6, 12 months later, you find you're in the minority going, we can't sack another manager. It's not Jose's fault. It's not Ten Hag's fault. It's not Ollie's fault. You find the majority are going, Ollie out.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Nog out. And when that happens, let's see how Sir Jim and the Glazers deal with that. Because they can't deal with that. When the fan base is going hammer him out, they ain't fucking keeping him. And that's my fear. I won't do it. I don't think I'll do it. I didn't do it with Ten Hag, really, did I? So I don't think I'll do it. But I can't control what the majority will do. Double D always comes up with something good. Says Delo must have worked being a bricklayer because that's the only contract I've given him, and I bet he's crap at that as well. Would you do charity boxing match against Gary Neville? Says Garfield. I'd hesitated. I should have answered that very quickly. He wouldn't do it anyway, and I don't think it's anything a pint down the pub wouldn't sort out, to be honest, but. Whatever. Harvey Specter, creativity, Frimpong and Cunha, please. I would like Cunha. I know people criticise. I mean, look, I haven't got a transfer story about him. We have been linked to him. I know people criticise him because he's get sent off. I like it. I grew up on Cantona and Keane. I couldn't give a shit about a player who, you know, gets a little bit aggressive. I actually think that team needs it. If I was a Wolves fan, I'd love that player. I know he's missing a couple of games because he's suspended, but at least he bloody gives a shit. I've totally been spun, at least in the short term. I know you all have heroes on the pitch, but mine are off. Listening to Norman Foster talk about the new stadium gave me goosebumps, says Nick P. Well, I hope they can last 5 weeks, mate, let alone 5 years, because it won't. We will be better off. Jim was actually speaking between lines, says Calvin Stewart. I hope we watch. I've done that one as well. Right, let me talk about this because, as per usual, the show is absolutely flying by. Paddy says, Jim said previous management was given too much rope. Comes across as he's doing the same. Doesn't seem to understand the finer details in the club, says Paddy. So Jim Radcliffe, that interview was crap. He absolutely destroyed himself. He contradicted himself so many times. He was inaccurate on a lot of things. But you're right. He basically defended the Glazers by saying that they They're not, it's not their fault. They live 3,000 miles away, and they let the management that they put in place have too many, too much say on things. But then on that same interview, I think Gary Neville said to him, why don't you get Bruno Fernandes to do an evening to raise money for ex-players? And he went, no one ever mentioned that. So, you know, his own team obviously ain't that good either. But look, let's talk about the reaction to yesterday. And I think it's important to do that. Let me just acknowledge that what I'm about to say ain't going to please everybody. Factually, it won't do, because it's very divisive. Lots and lots of arguments on social media. A fair bit in our chat as well, to be fair. So basically, United have released this PR picture package, amazingly coincidentally, 2 days after the biggest protest of the season. That PR package yesterday, when you think about it this morning, when are the bulldozers coming in then? Well, they're not. So you basically released a promo video and a few pictures to tell us that's what your plan is. Yeah. When's the start date then? Don't know. Okay. So you could have released this last week, end of the season, next month, but you decided to do it on a Tuesday, the day after Sir Jim's interview, the day after the protests. Yeah. Okay. Just spin then, innit? Yeah, really. But look, it is the plan. Nobody can deny that it's not the plan. It's the plan. The response to the plan has basically split the fan base. Some people are, you know, probably very, very tired today from whacking it out so much yesterday. Some people were absolutely ecstatically excited. Didn't matter where we were in the league, didn't matter about the debt, didn't matter about the Glazers staying for another 20 years. They just liked the pictures of the stadium and were very excited about it. Respect. There are also people who were like, I don't want this. I don't like this. I don't like the look of this. How are we going to pay for this? When is it going to happen? And then there's also people, and I would say very significant people in the fan base, when you think about the 58 who organised the protests, when you think about the Red Army, who are, you know, the voice of the fans in Old Trafford, and you think about other groups as well, who've put out statements, basically, or backed statements, basically saying, we want a football ground, not an event stadium. So that's sort of where we are. There is a backlash to this. There is not. I've always said you as an individual should make your mind up, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite, and you should stick to that. And I'm not telling you what to think. But people do like safety in numbers. When people are protesting and saying Glazers out, people quite like the fact, whether they're there or not, that, hey, I'm Glazers out, I'm part of the team. What you got to realise on this is you're not part of the winning team. You're part of a team. And unfortunately, the sad thing, I think, is that it just demonstrates why we fail as a football club, because you can cut it down the middle and people are arguing. And the only winner really is the Glazers again, isn't it? Because they go, mission accomplished. On Sunday, everybody was singing on the same hymn sheet, Glazers out, share this, do that. On Tuesday, same people are like, oh, fuck off, you fossils. You're just stuck in the past. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know. And then they're going, you're not real, you know. And you suddenly go, hold on a minute. You know what I said 2 minutes ago about why they dropped it on a Tuesday? Well, we all know why they dropped it on a Tuesday. On Sunday, the whole fan base is together. On Tuesday, they're not together because Man United did a pro reel and a few images about stadium. And the same people that were going Glazers out on Sunday, you've still got some people saying Glazers out, but you've got some people who were there on Sunday going, oh, I like the stadium. We've got to do it. Shut up. And they're arguing with each other. And that's sort of where we are at the moment. And I suppose that's the reality, isn't it? This is why they will always win, because they can drop a few pictures and a promo reel and divide the fan base. And then, you know, you've got people, the 58, putting a tweet out about what they think about the stadium. And then in the comments are full of people having a pop at them for having an opinion. And it's just very sad, isn't it? But that's the reality of where we are. What do I think? I don't actually think it matters what I think, really, to be honest. I don't think we're going to get what I would like. My resonating feeling is, I feel we've just been sentenced to another 20 years of the Glazers. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. Regardless of whether you like the stadium. But I do completely agree with the point that many United fans are making, that this is not a football ground. This is an events stadium. This is going to have Beyonce. This is going to have NFL games. This is going to be an arena. This is not going to be Manchester United football ground, Old Trafford. This is going to be an event, Wembley of the North. And nobody can say that that's not true, because that's what Sir Jim Ratcliffe's calling it. Wembley of the North is not Man United football ground. It will be our ground, but Wembley of the North is Coldplay. Wembley of the North is this event. Wembley of the North is that event. That's what they want, because that's where they're going to make their money. So we've never lived that, so we don't know what it is. So I think that that's quite difficult for some people to get their heads around. So I do understand people making reservations about that, because they're not wrong and they don't have to like it. Like, if they want a ground that's our ground to be proud of, that's ours, well, you can't tell them you're wrong. But some of you are like, well, I quite like the fact that it's going to be buzzing with stuff all the time. It won't just be Man United's ground. It'll be Coldplay. It'll be NFL. It'll be this. It'll be that. And there will be a lot of money floating around. Basically, you go to Old Trafford, it's always busy. You go to the new stadium in 5-6 years' time, at times it won't even feel like Man United's ground, because it will be something else and something else and something else. But that's sort of what Spurs have done, isn't it? And that's what Man United are trying to do. So look, that's sort of where we are. There is a backlash. I think the sad thing is the amount of people who are not arguing with each other. And I'm certainly not sitting here saying that if you're excited and can't wait for it, that you're a knobhead. You know, I accept that there are people like that. I think the sad thing is that it's just, it demonstrates yet again how easy it is to divide this fan base. I mean, as I said, Sunday, everybody's together. Today, a few pictures and a promo reel with Gary Neville voiceover, and the fan base is split over a new stadium. What I don't understand is how you can be so angry on Sunday and so happy on Wednesday because the Glazers have sent a few pictures out. But maybe that's why the world is what it is. Some people are so easy to manipulate. So it is what it is. I think for me, I'm just going to live in the now. That's my coping mechanism. We had Terry on yesterday and he was like, look, I just don't want to be angry anymore. I just want to, you know, it's not good for my health. And I respect that. I think for me, I am still very angry. I'm still very pissed off about how this club gets run. And I never won't be about that, because I think Man United are not where they should be. And they're not where they should be because of the Glazer ownership. Like, to go from where we were under Sir Alex to where we are now is absolutely abysmal. To go from title winners to in the bottom half of the table, scrapping around in the Europa League, is criminal. You should go to prison for that. To have the debt that we've got, they should go to prison for that. For Old Trafford to be being knocked down because of them, because they let it to rust, should go to prison for that. But you're not going to go to prison for that, are you? Because it's sport, and that's not what happens. But I choose. I think the only thing to do is just to live in today and deal with the problems of today. And as I said to you a few minutes ago, my big problem is that shiny new toy in the future is great, but how's that going to protect our results and our manager over the next couple of years? Because my big fear is we won't have a manager in 2 years' time. I think it'll be another manager in 2 years' time, because I don't see the plan to protect him. Words won't protect him. Oh, he's here for the future won't protect him. Heard exactly the same things about Oli, Mourinho and Ten Hag from owners before. How are you going to protect this manager in the short term? Because he needs results today, not in 5 years' time. That's what Old Trafford used to be. It had events all the time. Rugby league, home to England. Glynios out, says Sahil. The new ground looks like the Jedi Temple, says Papa Green. Seems like everybody forgot that Delo was player of the year, says Stephen. Would be great to ask Amrim if he intends to play attacking wing-backs in the future. What it means for Delo. Totally different profile to Ahmad, who is ideal, says Simply Red. Freaky Deaky says Old Trafford should never be allowed to be knocked down. If they had any business sense, you'd turn it into a museum, says Freaky. First game at Old Trafford on Thursday. Best place to park coming from Scotland, says X-Dan. I don't know whether it's still a tenner, but I used to always go to Tesco, big car park there, just quite close and easy. Jim said previous management have done that one from Paddy. Calvin said, you said on your watch along it'll be good for us. What, keeping DeLow? Giving Maguire another contract? Building a new stadium? I don't know what you're talking about, Calvin. I've never said build. I've never wanted to build a new stadium. If you're asking me, I've always wanted to keep Old Trafford. So I don't know what you're talking about there. With regards to the new stadium, if it was here today, financially, it would be good for us. I don't think anybody's arguing with that. Financially, it'd be good for us, but it's a long time in the future. Tesco is still £2, £10, says Sammy. There you go. That's not too bad. You're very close to Old Trafford there as well. Okay, we're back at 1:15 for Amrim's press conference. So I'm looking forward to this first press conference ahead of the huge game against Sociedad, but also first press conference. He's going to get asked a lot, isn't he? I think Dorgu's in it as well, so that'll be interesting. Take care, everyone. Smash a like on the video. We're nearly at 1,000 likes, so please smash a like on the video and make sure you subscribe. And don't forget Boohoo Man, extra 10% off. And I'll see you in a couple of hours. Take care.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.